I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history.
Heading into the third hour of the program, we welcome on board tonight BlogTalkRadio.com and the Terror Chat team over at Blog Talk and Pal Talk. Good to have you aboard.
A king, always a king, but once a knight is never enough. Ladies and gentlemen, Colin Knight.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to the Night Zone. I am Colin Knight. I will be your host for the next couple of hours. For the first hour tonight, we have with us one of our special guests, reoccurring guests, Chris Holly from Endless Journey. Chris will be with us for the first hour, going over some new stories and some new events on her blog. And we'll be getting into some ghosty, ghouly, creepy kind of stuff. Stay with us on that one. And into the second hour, of course, we'll be looking at Politics 101 and the wrap-up of the DNC convention and the RNC convention, the announcement of VP Sarah Palin, and exactly what the Democrats plan to do about this. That's all coming up in Terror Chat, thinking outside of the box. This is the Night Zone.
You're in the Night Zone with Colin Knight.
We all have busy lives, and sometimes we just can't get to the computer when we want to. Sometimes programs schedule at a time and a place an event when we just can't be there. But never fear, Blog Talk Radio have figured an answer. Yep, you can go to any of your favorite radio shows on blogtalkradio.com and download their archives or their player, and voila, you have access to your favorite shows. It's as easy as that.
Hello, my name is Chris Holly. I write and publish Endless Journey. I am also the co-editor and a contributing writer on the Alien Seeker News. If the paranormal, true life-based stories of the unknown, sightings, beasts, and creatures all interest you, along with alien encounters, Endless Journey and the Alien Seeker News are the place for you. Find the unusual and the current news in the world of the paranormal with a single search. Google 4 words, Endless Journey Chris Holly, that's Chris with a C, or the Alien Seeker News. Click away. It is just that simple. Endless Journey or the Alien Seeker News, the sites to explore the unknown and more. See you there.
As we continue to explore the possibilities of Planet X, the Anunnaki, Nibiru, and the conclusion of all of the prophecies from around the world that focus their attention on the year 2012 in the Mayan calendar. Is it possible? Is Planet X coming? Is the rapture, as they speak of in the Bible, about to take place? Have we heard the first horn sound as we watch for the horses of the apocalypse? We'll be examining Planet X, and we'll be examining it with a foremost authority, Mr. Marshall Masters.
And we will be studying it with the foremost authority, Mr. Marshall Marsters. The guy is absolutely impressive. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Terra Chat, Thinking Outside of the Box. I am Colin Knight. I have on the line with me tonight one of my favorite guests. Of course, we're talking about Chris Holly from Endless Journey. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening. How are you, Colin, Knight of the Canadian Rockies?
I am absolutely excellent, thank you. It's been a crazy week and a crazy day, and Blog Talk will give me a little bit of trouble bringing my Skype online today, so we were a little tight for time, but we made it, and that's what counts. Chris, looking over your blog, and I tell you, you are one busy writer.
Yes, I rarely have time to stop, and as soon as I finish one story, something else comes up, someone tells me something, I get an interview from someone that I never anticipated would give me one, and the material just keeps rolling out. I just wish I had another pair of hands.
and a 48-hour time clock for one day, no doubt, because
yes.
I know how you feel trying to get all of the things put together for the show and the upcoming shows, as I mentioned. In the opening there, we've got some great shows coming up on the Planet X, and you know, it's a busy time. Everybody coming off their holidays and starting to reinvigorate themselves with the internet. So it's an interesting time out there. And I see by your stories that are coming through Endless Journey, yeah, you're just intent on creeping me out. I read the Playing in a Paranormal Park. Oh, my goodness. You had me on that one.
Yeah, well, that was a really interesting experience. And to this day, I cannot bring myself to go back to that park and under that tree where I played many, many hours as a child. The experience just frightened me right to my core. And
wow.
I've never gotten over it. Never.
And just for the people that haven't had the chance to go to your blog yet and look at the story, just a quick recap. You're a very young child with your friend playing with your dolls and a couple of comic books by a lake, was it, or a river? And something happened, correct?
Absolutely. It was along the shores of Great River, which is located on Long Island in New York. And this river branches out into the Great South Bay, and that goes right out to the ocean. This park that I was playing in, this community where I lived, at the time was very solitude because it was nudged in between two great big state parks so that there was no housing or people, you know, around except for this one tight little community of homes along the river. And we were playing in there. We used it as our playground because, you know, that's what kids do when there's a great big park right next to where you live. And we were sitting under our, you know, favorite big weeping willow tree off of a little branch of this river, and there were swans there all the time. It was lovely. And we played there often, and we went that day, packed up our little toys and our comics and our little lunch, and we're having a marvelous time. Until my friend, Melinda, stood up and, as I tell you in the story, pointed and said to me, "What is that?" And when I looked, I then stood and looked, there was what appeared to be coming from the water up, not from the sky down, this great big ray cone of light. And it was the most unusual color. It was a very neon, extremely bright, so it hurt your eyes, color green.
Like a black light kind of green, you know, that kind of illumination, like that all, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like a, you know, where they check for cracks and stuff in equipment, that kind of bright green?
Very bright green, and you know how a strobe light would hurt your eyes when you were trying to dance on the dance floor? It was just the intensity of the light flashes. It had that type of effect. But it was it
probing? Did it look like it was probing for something?
No, it came straight up out of the water in a small cone or fan. Sort of just up like a tunnel, not too wide, and that's how it first appeared. With that, the swans went absolutely insane. They were flapping and, you know, squealing, and they were trying, I think, to fly away, but they seemed so upset, almost hysterical, that they were flapping and flying into each other and knocking each other back into the water, and it was just chaos. And I knew immediately that this was not the place for two little girls.
So, yeah, no doubt. Okay.
Yeah. So I said to my friend, you know, we have to leave. We have to go. And she was going to bend down and collect our toys, our belongings. Mm-hmm. And I just took her hand and said, no, we'll come back. You know, we have to go now. And it was so terrifying that we tried not to even breathe. Just slowly, you know, creep away so it wouldn't find us, wouldn't sense us. Even as a child, I knew to do that. That's when the clicking became apparent.
Yeah. And in your story, you say that it sounds like a garden sprinkler, like an oscillating sprinkler, like, you know, they tick, 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 that kind of thing.
Exactly, mixed with like a cricket in a hot summer's night when the bugs are very, very noisy. They are where I live. If you could combine that sound with the sound that you just made, mm-hmm. that's the closest I can get to it. And it first started out just as the cone of light, like, you know, lightly there. And so I wasn't completely aware of it at first. Then as the cone of light started to come up and spread out, as we were backing away, it increased in intensity. By the time we were out on from under the tree and on to the little path that leads up to the main path that we could then get to the exit out of the park, by the time we hit the first path, it was loud. It just rose considerably up the ladder with the growth of the cone of light. I knew I was in terrible trouble, and I was terrified. I don't even know how I made my legs move, much rather, you know, had the presence of mind to get out of there. And we started on the path, and this thing was keeping up, like in the woods, not the cone of light, the clicking, right along with us. So I knew this clicking was coming right adjacent to us in the woods as we were trying to now pick up speed on the path.
Right.
Finally, we began to run, and I mean really run, and that clicking stayed with us every step. I looked back, and I could see now that cone of light had fanned out way above the trees and was growing and was becoming very large, and I just ran for my life, and I knew we could not make it out to the exit. It was too much distance to cover. Too much running for two little girls, and this thing was right next to us. So I also knew a shortcut, which was probably very dangerous, now that I think back of it. I think the great creator was on our side that day, because we made it to a fence.
Oh, you broke on me. You're getting too used to my music, Chris.
No, I'm having a little trouble with my phone, Colin.
Okay. Well, we're going to jump to a break here. I don't have Hans with me today. He's away on a cheese-smelling competition or something like that. So I'm by myself. So I get to break whenever I feel like it. And unfortunately, this break was almost mandatory. We will be right back in just a few minutes. We'll be back with Chris Holly, an endless journey, while Chris works out her issues with her telephone. And hang in there. We'll be right back.
Here's your thing. Pamela Anderson and Mitt Romney in the same room. Isn't that one of the signs of the apocalypse?
You're in the Night Zone with Colin Knight.
I absolutely want Bill Clinton campaigning for me.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Hillary Clinton's out there, you know, like she's on the duck blind every Sunday. She's packing a six-shooter. Come on, she knows better.
When there were repeated incidents of terrorism in which Iraq had a part, terrorists operating openly in Baghdad.
I don't have any experience in running up a $4 trillion debt.
For the first time in my adult lifetime, I'm really proud of my country.
The United States has more than 12,000 nuclear weapons, and the Soviet Union has about the same. And as you know, Great Britain and France have several hundred, and Israel has 150 or more.
The reason that this country has lasted as long as it has is because every generation, we've realized we may not have a perfect union, but we can at least perfect it. We can work each generation to make it a little bit better.
Having served as a fighter pilot, however great it is to show your character and courage, does not necessarily mean that you're the best qualified person in the race to be the president.
We are in a defining moment in our history.
That the party that I joined when President John F. Kennedy was its leader, that party is not represented by the leaders today.
I learned a lesson from Ronald Reagan.
And you don't quit on America.
Warning, this is a restricted area. Warning, this is a restricted area. You are entering the Night Zone.
And you are entering the Night Zone. The second half of tonight's show, the second hour, will be dedicated to the wrap-up of the DNC and the RNC convention. And, of course, the appointment and announcement of the vice presidential candidate, Sarah Palin. We'll be getting into that later. And we'll be right back with Chris Holly in just a few seconds.
All information provided by Terror Chat Radio Program is the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the owner or its agency. Although TerraChat takes all precautions to provide quality information, TerraChat assumes no responsibility or liability for the legitimacy of information provided by guests' opinions or statements. You're in the Night Zone with Colin Knight.
Yeah, that should keep Hans busy because he's probably listening on his iPod there, Chris. And I hope you have your telephone problems sorted out. And hopefully you're there.
To your listening audience, but I am having telephone problems today. But we shall surge ahead.
We'll try and work with you as best as we can. If you have any issues, you let me know, and we can jump to a break. Like I say, Hans is away. He's at a wine and cheese smelling contest or something strange in the Napa Valley, and he'll be back in a couple of weeks. Hopefully, actually, he's not going to be back to the Planet X show, so he'll be back after the 9th of September. So, Chris, you were telling me about this ray of light that was... It was emanating over above the trees as you're running away. Now, when you were running away, was this force, this feeling, trying to prevent you from running away, or did you get the feeling that it was chasing you?
Chasing. I feel it was simply chasing us. For what reason, I have no idea. It could have been just curious. I don't know. All I know is that it was there. And it was strange, and I was frightened, and it was like nothing else I've ever encountered up until that time in nature or on this world. As far as being in the woods, I grew up there. It was comfortable for me. I knew the sounds, the smells, everything that was natural for that time of year in that place, except for that thing. It didn't belong there, and I didn't know what it was.
Now, you said in your story that later on when your dad or your family went back there to collect your toys and what have you, because naturally you were out of there. I mean, everything was left behind. So there were burn marks, like a pit fire had been there. Did they ever do any trace element checks on that at all?
We have no idea, because we could never get, or my parents at the time could never get any information from the police or from the park, other than they sort of tried to aim it at us, that the two little girls started a fire and ran away and made up this incredible story. Of course, that does not explain where our toys went to. They were gone. Oh, there were a few pieces left that were burned. Everything else vanished. And the swans were gone, including their nest, which we found, you know, amazing. And my father and the other girl's father called the police. It just so happened my father was home when this occurred. And the woman who picked us up on the road after we climbed the fence and got out of there and drove us home, finding two little hysterical girls on the road, my father immediately called the police. They got there very quickly, and they went back to the park within a short time. So it wasn't like others had a great deal of time to get in there and find that certain tree and steal all my toys and okay. have a barbecue and leave. They said the ground was just blackened. My father said, like, the bottom of, at that time, there weren't gas ranges, a charcoal grill. And he said everything else was just simply gone. They did call and inquire with the police and the park for a while afterwards, but were just blown off and watch your children type of thing. So, of course, we were forbidden to ever go near that park again. And to this day, I have not returned.
Isn't that just strange? Were there any other events, paranormal events or sightings around that time in your local newspapers or anything?
Oh, yes. It was the same summer that my story, Summer and Sources, was written about, when a very well-known couple that lived in the area were sitting down one of the docks celebrating their anniversary, watching the beautiful stars and the moon, had a sighting with about three other cars that were down there of a UFO, and the sighting was so terrifying to the woman because it came down so low over the river, and it was so, you know, apparently real and frightening to her that the woman started to drink, and eventually they had to leave and move away. She couldn't deal with it at all. It was the same summer. That happened in the beginning of the summer. This event happened in September of the same exact year.
So it was pretty clear there were some events out there. I mean, there was something happening.
Yes, definitely. Without question, the whole area was a constant problem for people. People had lost time events in that area. They all had sightings. I had the strange event. It was a community full of paranormal problems and remained right. so until I left when I was around, I guess, 17 or 18. Up until that time, all my events happened in that community.
Wow. And did you ever, was there ever any other occurrences in that particular area, like right on the lake shore or on the river shore there? Was there ever any other occurrences in that specific spot that you know of, or?
Well, I don't know about the park because I didn't go back in it, and Melinda and I had that one. The UFO sighting was seen by a group of people, and that was right, oh, gee, maybe, God, 5 acres in distance away from where I had this event where they saw that UFO. And I think it's all because of the location of this area, which is protected by land that is empty of all life, completely open to the ocean, where you can come in and go out without really being noticed, and also a community where there's a few group of, you know, there's a group of life forms that they can torture and play with and look at if they so desire. So for the unknown, it was a perfect little pit stop. And
yeah,
I think that's why we all had so many paranormal experiences in that community. And I had them, as I said, from a very young age until I left. Even I continued after that. But that place was just a paranormal pit is the only way I can explain it. It constantly had things going on.
Yeah, it's a pity that, and when you were younger, that they didn't have the extreme methods that they have now of investigation. I'm sure if they would have sent in some kind of high-tech investigation team, they may have found something, but maybe they did, for all we know. We are presuming that they just blew it off and forgot about it kind of thing. But, the more I hear from governments and what they do, I would think that this would have made it down the line somewhere and would have been investigated. Surprised you didn't see any blacked out SUVs or cars or, state troopers or something. But you never know. With what's happening in the world today, you just never know. And I got to get to a call here. We are heading to the bottom of the hour, Chris. You'll just hang with me just for a moment.
I'm here.
As you can tell, we're on minimum break. We're on minimum breaks tonight. And Hans must be pulling his hair out at his wine and cheese smelling contest. So we'll make this break legitimate, and we'll get this done.
We all have busy lives, and as such, we can't always be at a computer at a set time and date to listen to our favorite Blog Talk Radio show. So Blog Talk Radio has developed a method where you can listen to your favorite show right from your armchair or your desk. You could even listen archive or live. So how do you do it? Well, it's pretty easy. Come to www.blogtalkradio.com. Choose your favorite show. Hopefully it's Terror Chat. Enter the specific station page and sign up for RSS feed or add the various players to your website or blog, or put the player right on your desktop. It's as easy as that. Once you have the player, your favorite show is just a click away. Enjoy.
I believe that every man and woman in this room tonight joined me in saying that every part of this country, the law must be respected and violence must be stopped.
From the voice of the Canadian Rockets, this is Terror Chat, thinking outside of the box.
You're in the night zone.
And you are in the night zone with Colin Knight, and I have with me tonight Chris Hawley from Endless Journey. Chris, the story of the ray of light and the clicking noises, for some reason I associate with it. I don't know why, but it again, the hairs on my arms, kind of tell me that I'm moving into a comfort zone area that gets me all a twitchy and all a I can't explain it, all the EBGBs as we used to call it. But you said something in your blog, Chris, that I thought was absolutely amazing. You said, pay attention to your surroundings. Pay attention to what's going on around you, because I think there's much more going on than we really give credence to.
Oh, without question. I think that you would be foolhardy not to. And you have to learn about your environment. Learn the natural, everyday sounds, sights, colors, smells of where you are. because that is how you'll protect yourself. And the moment something comes up that's unusual or different, at least, you know, raise your head, look in that direction and see what it is. And my advice, which I try to write in as many places as I can, is if you see something that you do not recognize at all, do not go towards it. Leave it alone, walk away, run away, drive away, find other people, and let others go figure out what it is. Because alone, well, let's face it, you could simply just be taken. And I think that would have been our fate, Melinda and I, that day, if we did not take the actions that we did. I think I would have been long gone and never been seen again.
Yeah, I think that pay attention to your surroundings. As you know, we've had many a chat on this regarding terrorism and the safety of neighborhoods. And I'm a proponent of the Neighborhood Watch, but not only just for terrorism or criminal actions, but for children that need safety. When children are out there and they're playing and something happens, regardless of what it is, whether it's a criminal action or a paranormal event, you know, they need to seek safety as quickly as possible and be aware of what is around you. Do you think that would be a fair statement to make?
Oh, absolutely, without question. And children are not should not be protected from being told, if you look and see something and do not know what you're seeing, you know, don't know, recognize it as something that should be there, quickly remove yourself, run away, run and find an adult. You know, don't ever walk towards it.
Yeah, that's probably a big mistake. Yeah, don't go investigating it on your own.
Right.
Because there are forces out there that we most certainly don't have any protection against, if in fact there are those things that go bump in the night, if they actually do exist. You know, you don't want to step into something where you have no control over. I also read on your blog, and I tell you, this one kind of got me going, about the chupacabras and the encounters of unknown creatures in Cannock, England. Like, that one just fascinated me, that story.
Yes, both of them are. The first story, the hunters claim that they're going to stuff and sell these creatures on eBay. That puts me at my hands out and say, ooh, wait a minute. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with that situation. But the creatures...
I hope it's not another Bigfoot, because
right.
that was terrible.
Right, and that seems to be the bandwagon theme going on now. Anyone that thinks they can, I don't know, get attention, whatever it is, they're doing these ridiculous things. The other story was, to me, a terrifying story. The one in England with the huge whatever it was chasing them in the car. That's the first I've heard of that. Reading their description, it made me believe that these people actually did encounter exactly what they told us they did. And it's quite terrifying. He described it as a huge 7 to 8 foot beast, human-like, but running, you know, at the speed of the car, breaking through trees and, you know, thick brush at an enormous speed, chasing them. That's the part that terrified me. It was chasing them in the car. What in the world was that?
What was it indeed? There's been a lot of stuff going over in my old home country of England. I've noticed a great deal of paranormal and UFO activity that has been coming out of England. Now, maybe it's because their news media are a little bit more sensational than American or North American. I'm not sure, but it's a fascinating story. And the more I look into it, Chris, the more it seems to tie in with what you've been telling me over the last few shows regarding whatever this entity was that was switching on lights and switching them off, trying to goad you into coming back into the house, that one particular story you told me. They all seem to tie in with some things going on.
Oh, absolutely. That also happened in the same community as the river. The river was just a great exit point, I think, for whatever these things were, and I don't know what they were, to come in and play among the people. That all happened in the same area. It was just a perfect setup for creatures, beasts, dimensional beings, aliens, whatever they were, to come and play with or take or use or whatever they were doing to the people. Unfortunately, I was one of them. But
And at the time, you were so young, you probably had no real concept of what was happening around you at the time.
Well, I was always quite terrified. And from the age of 10 on, well, actually, my own experiences started when I was 5, and I've been pretty much frightened my entire life of things I didn't understand and on guard, which is why I think I've been able to remember them and survive them, because from a very, very young age, I was forced to deal with it. So without a choice, you deal with it. And that is why I'm sitting here today and able to tell you. I was older, 16, when that beast thing was in my house and my neighbor's house, and others in the neighborhood had that thing in their house. That year was a bad year for whatever that creature was. And it was out. It wanted, definitely, didn't have the finesse to deal with humans, didn't know how to get us to where they wanted us without scaring us to death. They thought they were like baiting us as if we were fish. But of course, we all ran away and got out of there. But it was definitely trying to get at, for whatever purpose, a human.
Wow. How do you think, looking back at it now, with the experiences and the education and everything that you have received over the years, looking back at it now, do you see what was happening clearly? Do you fully understand what was happening when you were younger? Do you understand that now?
I understand now, as I've been able to sew it together across my lifetime, that the whole thing is connected. I didn't know it at the time. I started to figure it out in my mid-20s that there was something very, very wrong and something attached to my life that I didn't want, that would not just completely leave and let me be. So my attitude from then on was to protect myself, defend myself, and try to figure it out.
Defend yourself with education, right?
And care, care. I know, as I said, the sounds, sights, and smells of where I live. I'm aware constantly when I'm out and about of who's around me, what they're doing, how are they in relationship to me. You have to be that way. If you've lived my life, you'd understand it. In your stories, you'll read how I've had so many objects placed on me that were harmful that we had to get rid of. And by get rid of, I mean we've had to bury, be it at sea, underwater, dig holes, bury them in the woods, whatever we needed to do, we had to do it so they were never found by anyone else.
You mentioned that in your blog. You were talking, there's a story up there about objects appearing in your purse and in your car and just objects that you knew you had absolutely nothing to do with.
Right. And they are always comical because they are built to try to, I guess, fit in with our society and the objects around us, but they're always wrong. Like the last story I wrote about was this huge comb. It was the funniest thing you ever saw. And it was gold, and I think it was actually solid gold. But it was the comb like a giant would use. A human would never use this big, 16-inch comb.
Maybe you have an admirer out there in the alien world, and he's trying to, he's trying to give you presents.
Well, that would be lovely. I think it's trying to tag me more like a wild beast so they could watch my activities or somehow follow along or do whatever. But I have to say that each one of these objects, if it is left there or handled by anyone, they become ill. They get burned, they're arms and legs will swell, they endure a tremendous amount of pain, and they start to get very physically ill, sick, until we get rid of it. So immediately, I'm constantly checking myself after I go out and come home, my pocketbook, my pockets, my body, everything. Anything that doesn't belong to me, even laying in the car, it goes immediately. And I'd say,
has there been any tests done on any of this stuff to see if it's emitting any kind of signals or radiation or anything?
No, there haven't. I once did contact a source, and I'm going to leave it at that I thought would help me, and I was laughed at. So figured, you know what, I'm just going to take and get rid of these things. Each one of them vibrated also and made a humming noise. And if you held it, it would vibrate. You could feel it vibrating.
Like something that was out of frequency. Something that was, you know. Yep, there goes the hairs on my arms again. You see, you do it to me every time, Chris. You know, I'm sure you just love to get me on the edge of my seat. We'll be right back with Chris Holly and Endless Journey Club. And would be proud of
all information provided by TerraChat Radio Program is the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the owner or its agency. Although TerraChat takes all precautions to provide quality information, TerraChat assumes no responsibility or liability for the legitimacy of information provided by guests' opinions or statements. You're in the night zone with Colin Wright. As we continue to explore the possibilities of Planet X, the Anunnaki, Nibiru, and the conclusion of all of the prophecies from around the world that focus their attention on the year 2012 in the Mayan calendar. Is it possible? Is Planet X coming? Is the rapture, as they speak of in the Bible, about to take place? Have we heard the first horn sound as we watch for the horses of the apocalypse? We'll be examining Planet X and with Mr. Marshall Masters.
September the 9th.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing. Who do you want answering the phone?
And who do you want answering the phone, especially with what's going on? I have with me tonight on TerraChat, Thinking Outside of the Box, Chris Holly from Endless Journey Blog. And Chris is scaring the bejeebus out of me again with another story from her past. Chris, looking back on the story about the chupacabras, you know, do you see any credence there? Does it feel right to you as a writer, as a researcher?
It's not something I'm going to take and dig my teeth into right away. It falls in the area of I have to see it and have it proven to me to believe it. And that's strictly because there's been so much nonsense in this area, the paranormal, that you become exhausted of it and by it. Which I'm sure, you know, is the case in all of these subjects, and why I try so hard to go about it slowly and carefully. I want to educate, protect, and give people knowledge, because the paranormal is going to become more and more frequent, and more people are going to be dealing with these situations. The sadness in my heart is that there are so many that just make up things or tell ridiculous stories for, you know, I don't know, fame, attention, loneliness, whatever their reason may be. It makes it extremely difficult for people that did have extreme experiences that they should be sharing with us to want to share them. So, you know, it's a very big mountain to climb when you're dealing in this subject matter. because of all of that. I recently met a man that I have convinced to tell me his paranormal experiences, and let me tell you, I'm writing them now, and if you think I frighten you, his things are terrifying me. But I believe that there's some truth there. We'll have to go forth with him and see. But the more bizarre the situation, probably the truer it is. I don't think every sighting is exactly the same, and that's how I think I see many of them. They all report the exact same things. And for my lifetime of events, mine have not been that way really at all. I'd like to add, Colin, that I have never seen or been visited or noticed a man in black or black anything around any of my events. The Air Force did visit us and tell us to be quiet, but besides that, I have not had any of those typical experiences at all, just terrifying events I had to deal with that I know were of the unknown.
Well, if you give me a couple of weeks' notice so I can start my regimen of Valium, you know, I'd love to chat with your source also. Of course, you would get the exclusive on the story, but that it sounds absolutely fascinating that there are people out there that have so many stories to tell, and yet we tend to blow them off as you know, either nut jobs or looking for attention or what have you. But there are those out there that do that, and that kind of muddies the water. Do you think there's a disinformation service going on where absolute false stories are put out there just to muddy the water and keep us guessing?
Oh, yes, I do. Not only that, I think that the unknown or the base of the paranormal subjects that we all talk about enjoy it because it makes it much easier for them to go about their business when you have so many crackpots in there polluting and diluting the truth and the actual facts for them. So all they have to do is a little bit of work, and mankind seems to do the rest for them. And that's from, I think, the very start of time that's been going on. You just have to, tolerate those who are jumping on this for, as I said, whatever reason it might be, and sort through to those that are having these extreme experiences and being involved in this paranormal science we do not understand. They are, lost in the cloud of all this other nonsense going on. So it's you have to be focused and just do your best and try to get the information out there. And as you say, I will never tell anyone, Colin, to walk towards the light or go towards it. My attitude has always been the opposite. Run.
Sometimes I look at the information that's coming in to do the shows that we do, and I must say that sometimes I can't see the wood for the trees, if you know what I mean. There's so much out there to grab a hold of. But a lot of it is fakery, and a lot of it is just silliness. Marshall Masters, coming on September the 9th, I talked to Marshall about this, and we'll be talking more about it. Even in the Planet X and the whole Planet X storyline, there are so many people out there that just do not have the information, yet they make it up and they throw it on YouTube like it's reality. And, there needs to be... The karma look needs to prevail. We need to get the truth out there and get rid of the chaff.
Absolutely, and that's why those who do know stand aside. That's why they are gun-shy to come up and say what they do think or do know, because probably it's completely opposite of the nonsense that is on the YouTubes and the people that come out and claim all these things without any basis. And the facts that we need to really look at and know, well, those people just don't want to jump into that pool. And I have to tell you, I suffer a bit for, dealing with this subject myself. You have to be focused and just block out all the nonsense and go about your road. which I am doing, the stories of my life that were really big, I have not even touched yet. I have not brought to Endless Journey. They're going to come in the next year. And they are, I will tell you, quite powerful and have been a controlling force in my life. And I am now going to tell the world. And it's what they want to do with it is up to them.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. We're up at the mark. 9 minutes left of the show, Chris, if you'll stay with me. And we'll just get these out of the way and we'll finish up our chat.
You're in the night zone.
We all have busy lives, and in such, we can't always be at a computer at a set time and date to listen to our favorite Blog Talk Radio show. So Blog Talk Radio has developed a method where you can listen to your favorite show right from your armchair or your desk. You could even listen archived or live. So how do you do it? Well, it's pretty easy. Come to www.blogtalkradio.com. Choose your favorite show. Hopefully it's Terror Chat. Enter the specific station page and sign up for RSS feed or add the various players to your website or blog, or put the player right on your desktop. It's as easy as that. Once you have the player, your favorite show is just a click away. Enjoy.
With the calling mass.
You are in the night zone with Colin Knight. I have with me tonight in Terror Chat, Chris Hawley. We've been discussing a number of stories that she has written on her blog and that have actually happened to her in real life. And I got to tell you, Chris, you know, the hairs on my arms are just, they're not liking this at all. So I know we're doing something right. If you can give me that kind of shake, then I know we're there, if you know what I mean. It's a good indicator that the information is solid. Let's put it that way.
Well, I think it's all part of our reality. It's just something that we wish not to notice, go out of our way not to notice. And unfortunately, I think there are people that did notice, did walk towards the light, did just stand there, and now they're gone. I do really and truly believe that. Interestingly enough, the gentleman that I'm writing about presently said something to me after my story was both on about the paranormal park and the clicking was on the Alien Seeker News and Endless Journey, of course, my own site. He started to tell me about one of his experiences and started to talk about the clicking noise like bugs. Let me tell you, I almost fell off my chair. He then went into the odor, which was so terrible, which I write about when that beast was in our house, of the sulfur, overpowering, sickening odor. Now, how could someone in, you know, England, who never met me, have the same experience with the same type of things?
Yeah.
So it's very interesting subject matter, that's for sure.
So there's something I never asked you, but I might as well do now. You mentioned the odor, and you said sulfur. Was it that kind of, the very powerful, sulfury, bottom-of-the-earth kind of smell?
It was terrible. Now, if you live on the east coast of the United States and you've driven through the pollution factory section of New Jersey on a hot summer's day,
right,
you would understand what I was talking about.
Okay. Yeah, I have smelt that smell, and it definitely is one of those, you just do not get over it. It's, people equate it to somebody striking a match. Well, it's that to the millionth degree almost. It's, you know, pretty funky stuff. And we're heading into 5 minutes. And hang in there.
You're in the night zone with the cop.
Now, according to all of my sheets and things that Hans has left me, I've covered all bases. I think I've got all of my breaks in where they're supposed to be, so that down the line, as people rebroadcast there, they can drop their own breaks in there. So, Chris, what's on the agenda for you in the upcoming weeks?
Well, I'm doing a lot of writing, of course. I'm finishing this series with this gentleman. I have a few stories of my own I'm going to finish, and, of course, I'm going to cover as much of the paranormal world as I can. I do see that Australia and England or Europe and, of course, always Mexico are just constantly having all these sightings all over the place. And I'm very, you know, interested in that, as they seem to almost have an epidemic going on. So I'll be trying to follow along with that. And, of course, follow along with all the creatures, big feet, big foot, crawly, cranky creatures that are out there, and see if we can figure out what they are. That thing in England, I would love to be able to follow up on that. The man wrote a terrifying description of what happened. It's on my blog, and people should, you know, as I say, be aware. He was, and when the thing charged their car, which right there I was, you know, thinking, oh, my God, what would you do if your car stalled? that was enough for me to think, oh, they had a very close call. But
I'm definitely looking forward to reading those stories. And as I say, if the gentleman, if you can convince him, he can be anonymous if he wishes. We'll definitely love to hear some of the stories that he has to tell after, of course, that they've gone to print with you. And as we head into the final 2 minutes or so, Chris, what's happening on the secondary blog that you have?
I just write there everyday experiences that I've had over my life that I was found unusual. I just posted one that I wrote about a man in a wheelchair that I met recently who was a Marine. And if you read his story, which happened in about 20 minutes, I met this man, found out his life story, and he broke my heart. It's a human interest story that's true, just happened, and I was so touched by it, I had to write a little story in tribute to him. So I do things like that, and all my parking lot experiences, which have been hilarious over the years. So that's what I'm covering there.
Okay, and what's happening on your writings with Alien Seeker News? And Kevin Smith is doing great things over there on the radio show. What else is happening on Alien Seeker?
Alien Seeker is growing quickly. He has many new wonderful writers jumping on board, and his viewer base is expanding very, very quickly. And in part with the Kevin Smith show, they're just doing wonderfully. And I am so pleased to be the co-editor and a writer for it. It's been a wonderful, wonderful ride, and interesting, and a great deal of fun.
Oh, you're tight on that music. Have you had emails from Hans? Did he ask you to keep tight on the music for me? Huh? You got the bump right in place there, Chris. We have to get out of here, dear. I appreciate your time. We'll check back with you in another couple of weeks. In the meantime, that's all. And we'll be back on the 4th. Chris, it's been a pleasure, dear. We shall chat with you soon.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
And we'll be back with the second hour of Terror Chat, Politics 101. What happens at the RNC and the DNC debate? That's a question I'm going to be asking you in the second hour. Remember, the phone lines will be open, 347-324-3287. Yep, the phone lines will be live in the second hour of TerraChat Thinking Outside of the Box, 347-324-3287. We'll see you there.
You're in the Night Zone with Colin.